Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh yearns for thee, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary, to see thy power and thy glory, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise thee, so I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee, my right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword, and they will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. Amen. This is probably one of the more famous psalms, particularly in the early church. This is the psalm, my Bible says, where David thirsts for God. Chrysostom, who was an early church father, he actually declared, he loved this psalm. He actually declared that Christians of his day should not, and churches of his day, should not go a day without reading this psalm aloud publicly. This is how much he treasured the words of this psalm. And it's about, it's a personal devotion. It's about a personal habit that David had. You can tell, he says, you are my God, I shall seek thee earnestly. The word actually, earnest, is probably better translated. I will seek thee early. And so he's talking about a person that goes to the Lord early in the morning. And then we see in verse 6, the second half of this psalm, that he seeks the Lord at night. And so thus you can see why the early church fathers considered this to be a very beautiful psalm that actually should be done quite regularly. So let's break it down. He says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So there probably is two different hypotheses of what this situation is. One, it could have been his wilderness wanderings when King Saul was after him. Or it could have been the second part of his wilderness wanderings when Absalom was after him. Most likely, we're dealing with the first part. Most likely, he's dealing with Saul. But we can't know with certainty. But I think there's fairly good consensus on that matter. And so if we read it and think of it as the first wandering that takes place. And then he says, O God, and very similar to the Psalms that we've done the last few days, O God, you are my God. Elohim, you are my God. And again, this personal relationship, this personal connection, he wasn't just God who was far off. He says, you are my God. You're not just the God of Israel, but I have a personal relationship with you. This is very important for us to understand this. And he says, O God, El, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. I shall seek you early in the morning. And it was David's desire that the first thing he did when he woke up was to give the Lord praise. I wonder, what's the first thing that you think about when you wake up? Maybe you guys think, where's my phone? What are the messages? How many WhatsApps did I get? How many emails did I receive? And that's the first thing you look at, you know, or the first thing you think about is, excuse my, you know, crudeness, I got to go pee, you know, or something to that effect. And so the bathroom is the first thing that you do. David, the first thing he thought of, the very first thing when he woke up in the morning is, I got to go be with God. I got to seek you. You know, you're my God, and because you're my God, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to seek you early in the morning. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be in your presence. Now, this is a man who is in love with his God. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a man who, I mean, just absolutely wants God. He says, you are my God. earnestly, and the first thing I do in the morning is I'm with you. The first thought I have when I wake up is not, where am I? Or, man, I ate a big meal last night. My stomach feels weird, right? His first thought was, Lord, I need to be with you. And there's something really beautiful about that. And you think about it. Like I always ask this question many times as I read through the Psalms and I read through the story of David. Why is David called the man after God's own heart? Do you ever wonder that? I mean, that is such a lofty title. That's such a lofty privilege that he's in. Why is he called a man after God's own heart? He didn't say that about anybody else, but only God. And it's because of stuff like this that he writes. It's because this kind of attitude. Oh God, you are my God. I will seek you early in the morning. And then he doubles down. He goes even deeper. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. He's talking about, the word actually is the word faint. In other words, like if you can imagine, you know, when you're really, really hungry, and like you're so hungry, you're about to faint. This is the idea that David is laying out. Like, I'm about to faint unless I'm with you. And there's such a longing to be with somebody. There's such a longing to be together. I'm sure you've experienced this. I've experienced this. You know, I've done quarantine twice. You know, I did a 14-day quarantine. I did a 7-day quarantine. And I tell you, when it gets to like, because basically what happens at the hotel, you have to wait for them to call you. So you don't even know if you're going to be released. It's supposed to be at midnight, 11:59. You don't even know if you're going to be released. You have to get a call from the hotel that says that they got approval from the government and all these things, and now you're being released. And so you're longing for that call. And then as soon as you get that call, you know you're going to be gone. And it usually happens about 10 o'clock at night. And then just a couple hours, you can't wait to leave. And you can't wait to go home and see your lovely wife and your children and just kiss them because they're asleep. But I mean, that's just a little taste of what David is going through. He says, my soul, every part of his emotions, his seatbed, longs for his flesh. Even his body faints for the Lord in this way. And then the end of verse 1 is really, I think it's quite powerful. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, why is that significant? Because the enemy throws a lie to people, Christians and non-Christians alike, that you can seek God or you can go into God's presence when everything is okay. I was at a member's home last week, and we're having a barbecue, and then some of the members' family came over, and some of the family were Christians, some of them were not Christians, and so I came and I introduced myself to them. And then one of the family members that was a Christian said, oh, Pastor Sam, these guys are not believers. In other words, do something, you know, like do your job, get to work, you know, which I thought was great. And so I just love that passion. And then you could tell the family members that were not believers, they were on the spot. They were like, oh, no, you know, the pastor's here. We're in trouble. And then they said, this is what they said, and this is so common. I will go to church when I'm better. I will go to the Lord. Yeah, you know, I'll do that when I get my life in order. And that's a lie. Remember, Jesus simply said, I did not come to this earth for the healthy. I came here for the sick, right? He is the great physician. And we could have this idea that, man, when don't we do this? Like, and I've heard this so many times from people. Hey, how come you haven't been in church in a while? Well, I'm not really doing very well. And when I start doing better, then I'll start coming to church. And I just sit there, I just kind of scratch my head. And it's like, isn't that why there's church? Isn't that why there's God? It's not because we're doing good. It's because we're in a dry and weary land. Because life is not going very well. That's when we should cling to the Lord. And Spurgeon actually says that's when we should pray doubly hard, even more so. But isn't it interesting that as soon as we're not doing well with God, what do? We withdraw. Isn't that right? We just think, oh, God must be angry with me, and we withdraw ourselves from God's presence. And David goes, no, in a dry and weary land, I'm going to seek you even more. Because that's the reality. You know, when you're not doing well, that's when you have to cry out to God and just say, God, help me. But you can see how the enemy works. Every part of our being, we just get to that place and we just want to go away from God. But David, what does he do when things are not going well? He doubles down and he just runs after him. He says, my soul thirsts, my flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land. There's no water. Yes, he is in the desert. And so he is speaking about his physical condition, but obviously we know he's talking about his spiritual condition. He's not in a very good place. Think about it. He is a loyal soldier. He's a loyal Israelite, and the king wants to kill him. And the king wants to kill him for no good reason. And lies are being spread about him. All kinds of things are happening. And so what does he do? Does he withdraw from God? No. He doubles down. He goes even further. And then you can see now there's like reminiscing happening. It says, thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. So now he's talking about the tabernacle. Remember, the temple is not built yet. Remember, that comes through Solomon. And so they're just at the tabernacle. And he says, and this is, he reminds them, I saw you. Like, I felt your power. I beheld your glory at this place. And so this is a good thing to do when you feel distant from God. This is a good thing to do when you feel lost and alone, is you go back and say, Lord, I remember this time. I felt you, Lord. I remember this. And if you guys ever took EG, we talk about spiritual markers. And these are these spiritual markers. Or I like to actually, a little better, is maybe call it like anchors. And so, you know, when you're in the midst of a storm, we have these anchoring moments where we felt God. We know that God spoke to us. We felt his presence. And so the thought goes, Lord, you ministered to me then. You were with me then. Lord, you're going to be with me now, and you'll be with me tomorrow. I was in a difficult situation. You saw me through that then. You're going to see me through today in my situation, and you're going to see me through tomorrow. That's what David's doing. He's going back, and he says, I remember when I was in the sanctuary. I'm in a cave right now, but I used to be in a sanctuary. I remember, and I remember your presence. I remember beholding your glory, and it was incredible. And so he's reminding himself of what the Lord has done in his life. And then he comes to this conclusion in verse 3. He says, Lord, because your loving kindness, your chesed, is better than life. Think about what he's saying. Listen, he is running for his life. He values his life. Otherwise, he could just present himself to Saul and he could die. So he values his life. He considers his life to be precious. But then he says, but Lord, your loving kindness is more precious than my life. Just think about, what would you do to preserve your life? Like if you were sick and you had cancer, you'd spend all the money that you had to try to cure yourself of this, wouldn't you, or your loved ones? I mean, we would go through extreme measures to make sure we're safe and that we're living and we're alive. And David says, but your loving kindness is greater than life. In other words, the favor, the blessing that you bestow upon me, just even God smiling down on me, that's his loving kindness. He says, this is better than living. And in a such, in certain ways, saying that, in fact, if I don't get that, I might as well die. And he's sustained by God's love in this way. And so then in verse 4, you can see why Chrysostom and so many people just really love this. He says, so this is his conclusion. So I will bless thee as long as I live, and I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. Either way, whatever it may be. You know, marrow, just marrow, like being like a skinny to the bone, with wealth and abundance. And he says, my soul is satisfied. So he says, this is concluded. So I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to spend my days praising you. Lord, I'm going to make this my full-time occupation in making sure that your name is glorified. And with my mouth, I'm going to offer praises with joyful lips. Like, I'm going to be so happy to spend the rest of my life just praising and worshiping you. And then David says, in fact, you know what? The morning, coming to you in the morning, is just not good enough. And so in verse 6, it says, I'm going to remember you on my bed in the evening. I'm going to meditate on thee in the night watches. This is the kind of the picture of like a slow churning of the clock. This is kind of the night watch. It's like time is almost standing still. And he says, in those times, in those moments, man, I'm gonna meditate on you. I'm just gonna be with you. It's not just good enough to praise you in the morning, but it's time to praise you at night. And I remember one of my early mentors, and I'll be honest, I probably haven't done this in a while, but one of my early mentors told me, what you should do is you should do your quiet time in the morning, you know, to pray for the day and to really seek God's direction, and then you should pray at night to thank God for what he's done during the day. Just such a simple formula, you know, by which we operate. And he says, so I'm going to, not only in the morning, I'm going to remember you in my bed, in the night watches. Why? Because you have been my help. And in the shadow of thy wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee, thy right hand upholds me. That's what he did. He basically looked back and he says, he looked through his day and he says, Lord, I've seen you have helped me. It's amazing. You've watched over me throughout this time. You've helped me through this time. And you've been my help. My soul clings to you. Your right hand. I recognize it's your right hand who upheld me. I'm alive right now because your right hand was watching over me. And he says, in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. That word shadow of your wings, I mentioned it last time, have double meanings. One, it means protection. And just think of the hen, the mother that wraps her arms around and protects the child. But also, too, because David could have been referring to the sanctuary, it's the cherubim. It's the Ark of the Covenant where the wings cover them. So it's indicative of God's presence before the mercy seat. And so when he talks about particularly David, when he talks about hide me in the shelter of your wings, or the shadow of your wings, or these things, it's a double meaning. It's protection, but it's also the presence of God. And so God is protecting me, but I'm also set in God's presence in this way. And so you've done all these things, and now he's addressing the difficulty that he's gone through in verse 9. Lord, those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword, and they will be a prey for the foxes. And so he's saying that, yes, okay, God, like I'm in this cave for a reason. I'm in this wilderness for a reason. But here's these people, they're speaking falsehoods. Here's these people that are manufacturing and manipulating and doing all kinds of different things. And he says that they're going to get theirs. It's going to happen. And the way that David describes it is actually quite grisly. Like the translation says foxes, probably the better translation is jackals. You know, think of like hyenas or wild dogs or something that way. And it's basically, you think of David as a man of war. When soldiers are slain and these type of things happen, when they wake up in the morning, they will just see carcasses because the jackals would have come and just eaten off of their flesh and there'll be hardly anything left. And so David says, this is the punishment of those that have come against him. It's going to be as if there's nothing remaining of them. And so it's a very vivid language that David is using. But then he finishes off, and just think how powerful this next verse is. But the king will rejoice in God. He's not the king right now. He was prophesied to be the king. Remember Samuel did that? He's not the king. In fact, it looks as far away from him to be king than this stage right now. The king, Saul, wants to kill him. He's in hiding. He's running away. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he finishes this psalm with a statement of faith. He says, but one day, I'm going to be the king. I'm in a cave right now. you know, but like I'm hiding away, but one day I'm going to be the king of Israel. And I'm going to sit in that throne. And while I'm on that throne, I'm going to worship the Lord. This was a powerful statement of faith. And I think many times when we go through difficulties or when we are in under certain circumstances, there comes a moment. I don't know if you've ever had these moments where you just feel despair and you're almost like panicking and woe is me. And then something like during the prayers and as you're meditating on the Lord and as you're thinking about your spiritual markers and all these different things. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if this happens to me all the time, something just stirs up within our hearts and there's faith that arises and says, no, I'm going to get through this. By God's help, I'm going to get through this. And then you don't see punishment, you see promotion. Something happens in that place. And David cries out and he says, but, you can see this is the resounding, but the king, he's talking about himself, right? Now, future, the king, I will one day be the king and I will rejoice. I will rejoice in God. I will sing to the Lord. And everyone who swears by him, that's what he's doing. He's making a promise. He's covenanting with God. And he says, will glory. That's what's going to happen, right? You side with God, glory is going to come. But for the mouths of those who speak lies, those mouths will stop. The word actually is their mouths will be cut off. You can imagine their tongues will be cut off in this way. And he says, but it's that declaration. And I think that when we go through these seasons, that as you draw closer to God, even though the enemy wants you to draw away from God and withdraw, as you draw closer, I tell you, this happened so many times in my life, you will get the resounding word of the Lord and faith just begin to arise in us. Amen? Now you know why the early church fathers said that the church, they decreed it that they should sing this psalm every single day publicly as a body. So let's close our eyes. What will we do early in the morning? And what will we do at night? And then what will we do during the day? David says, early I will seek you, at night I will meditate on you, during the day I will worship you. I will think upon you. My joyful lips will sing praise. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. So I want to encourage us that, listen, if you're going through a difficult time, a difficult season, and they happen, don't withdraw. Draw close. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Especially when it's tough. Especially when you don't want to. And let that faith arise in us. Let God remind you of his promises, and then let that faith carry us and lead us into overcoming the present and into our future. And as we sing, let's meditate on the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sybil. That was beautiful. Well, let's pray. The name above every name. Right? Jesus deserves our attention in the morning, during the day, in the evening. He is the Lord of all. And again, like if you're struggling or you know someone who's struggling, you can see that they're starting to withdraw or you're starting to withdraw. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just draw them closer. Let's pray for intimacy to be formed. Let's pray for faith to arise. Let's just lift up. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are going through cancer, going through recovery from surgeries, and let's just really ask God's hand to be with them and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those in our community that are ill, non-cancer related. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's got COVID. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for the touch of the Lord. Let's pray for our frontline medical workers that God would protect them, strengthen them, and just give them a lot of resources and power during this time. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for our great city. Let's lift up our government, and I know that elections are going to happen soon, and let's just pray that there's only one candidate, so there's not much we can cover, but let's pray that that God would really move upon our government in this way. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up churches all over the city, that the gospel be preached and proclaimed powerfully. Let's pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, God Catering, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters. Pray for Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church. Lift up students all over the city, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to just give our staff a lot of clarity, a lot of wisdom, a lot of strength and perseverance to lead and to minister throughout our church. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries, our welcoming, our barista, logistics. Let's just pray that the teams, now that we've come back in person, that the teams would continue to be built up, they would serve the Lord with all their heart, and there would just be such a welcoming atmosphere in our body. Thank you. Let's lift up our worship and sound and the AV teams. Let's pray for our worship leaders, our musicians, our AV people, that they would really lead us into God's presence as we worship Him and as we celebrate the Lord with song. And let's just ask God's heart to be expressed during these times. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Happy Valley, Hopewell, K House, Opeak Road, and Princeton. Let's just pray for the Holy Spirit to lead our leaders. Let there be excitement. I think most of the House Churches are meeting in person. Let's just pray for protection for all the House Churches, for the homes. And let's pray that as we gather together, that we really be able to minister to the Lord and really minister to each other. Let's lift up. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Psalm 63, God. We thank you, Lord, that it's David's heart and intention, Lord, from the moment he wakes up to the moment he lays his head, God, that he would be with you, Lord. He considered your loving kindness, Lord, better than life, worth more than life, God. And it's interesting, Lord, that he's running for his life. He values it, Lord, but he sees your favor, your presence is more than anything. Lord, help us to also have that similar mindset, God. Help us to live our life where you truly are the center. You're the first thought and the last thought as we wake up and lay down. Help us, Lord. God, we love you. Lord, watch over us. Watch over our city, God, during this time. Lord, we pray for your protection and your presence, Lord, under the shadow of your wings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow, Psalm 64.